everyone. You are listening to Morning Drive right here at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's Community Radio. And we are also simulcasting on channel 1301, PCTV, Spectrum Cable. And if you cannot stay with me for the entire about 58 minutes I'm going to be with you, you can always catch the entire show at pittsfieldtv.org. You can catch this show and any of the Morning Drive shows that you've missed in the past. So if you ever want to kind of binge watch something, you can binge watch Morning Drive right on pittsfieldtv.org. I'm sure the lady that you're seeing is not any stranger to you anymore. She is Alyssa, right? Costa, and she is our Pittsfield City Councilor at large. And I'm really excited about this interview. Having served on the City Council myself, I know the first couple of months are just kind of like a lot of fun and a lot of things going on. So I wanted to share Alyssa's experience with all of you. So good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you so much for being with me today. So I'm sure people know who you are. You did a great campaign. You were out and about knocking on doors, and that's always been my favorite part, to be honest with you.
It's so much fun, not just because you get to meet so many different people, but you get to see the diversity of the city neighborhoods, the landscape, everything about it. So you wind up in corners of the city you never have seen before. And I really enjoyed that a lot.
It's, you know, it's really true. I was born and raised in the, raised in Pittsfield, actually on the west side. So I knew that well, obviously, but when I ran for office and started to walk all the neighborhoods that, you know, I really, as a kid, wasn't really in, it was pretty amazing. I found some really cool places, some great parks, met some wonderful people. And it really expanded my appreciation of the city. And sometimes I say to people, whether you run for office or not, get out and just kind of explore other parts of the city, because it's a pretty amazing place.
Yeah, yeah. So much beauty and interesting architecture all over the place. And the people are just great.
You know what? I say that all the time. I will go to my grave saying that. I think the Pittsfield people are just the best. Absolutely the best. So you're into this for about four meetings now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, four meetings. And I even ran the second meeting because of the way the seats, all the new members of city council are on one side and we're all the first seats.
That's right. So you've got, oh my goodness. That, be honest with you, that's a little, mine was, I think the first one I ran was around budget time. So
yeah,
my very first one, I was like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. That's what it was, my attitude. I was like, oh no.
So yeah, so we're using insider language. I think it's really important to let folks know what we mean by running the meeting is that the person running the meeting makes all the motions. So the president of city council looks to you and says, Councilor Costa, do you have a motion? And you need to be prepared. What is that motion? And I didn't know that until I sort of noticed it before, but I didn't know how that worked. Mm-hmm. And then I thought they would break us in slowly and let us watch a few meetings and understand, but nope, you're in. So it was really fun.
It is fun. And it is a little, you're right. So here's the interesting thing about running for office and finally getting, you know, when, what I used to call the cushy seats, but they're not really cushy at all. Is it's like going to college, right? You go all the classes, you get the degree, and then you go out into the real world and you're like, it's different.
Running for office and being in office are two entirely different skill sets.
Yeah. It's so incredibly true.
And it's very easy to make comments and assumptions when you're running for office, but then when you get all of the information, the decisions get a lot harder.
You know, that is really true. And that's one thing I have said to people who have contacted me for, you know, advice. And I tell them, be very careful when you're out there knocking on doors, what you're saying about, you know, people that are currently sitting in office and what you say you're going to do and what you're going to promise and how fast you're going to make it happen. Because once you're in those seats, it's a totally different ball game. It's a totally different stadium that you're in, for sure.
Yeah. And I felt good because fortunately on the campaign, I didn't promise to solve any problems,
Good
but
girl.
I did talk about how I would work on figuring it out. And that's sort of where my background comes in as a community organizer. I don't think we're going to solve a lot of these really tough challenges without involving a lot of the community to get some fresh ideas and voices in there.
Well, you mentioned your background. So sometimes people pay attention during campaigns and sometimes they don't. And
True.
then once we sit on the city council, that's how they know us. So why don't you just share with our listeners who may or may not know your background? You have a pretty impressive a background. It always impressed me. So why don't you share it with folks?
Sure. So I actually grew up on Long Island in New York State, and I went to school at the University at Albany. And I wound up staying there and living there for many years, working doing statewide public policy, advocacy, political work, community organizing. I worked for organizations like the New York AIDS Coalition. I worked for Planned Parenthood for 10 years. So
Wow.
I'm no stranger to political hot topics and uncomfortable conversations, which I like to talk about. But I wound up moving to Pittsfield to be with a man I met, who I'm now engaged to. And I was blessed to be I was blessed to be hired to be the initiative director for Working Cities Pittsfield, which I was for 4 years. And that's how I really got involved in Pittsfield. That was a unique initiative funded by the Federal Reserve Bank of Boston, and it's economic development from the ground up. So it was like, how do we engage residents of all backgrounds in creating a more thriving city? And so I used my community organizing background and a little bit of my public policy to look at what are the systemic issues in the city and what levers can we push by involving certain people. And so that was really fascinating because it was a learning grant. And we got to learn about systems change and the theories behind that and how we can get the rest of our city to be thinking about things differently. Because in a lot of ways, Pittsfield can feel stuck. You know, we're dealing with the same challenges over and over again. GE comes up constantly, the economy, poverty, and then we're dealing with the effects of poverty and mental health and substance use. So we feel really stuck in dealing with the same things over and over again. And it turns out that there are cities like ours all over New England, all over the country that are stuck in similar ways. And when you realize that, you realize it's bigger than us. There are systemic issues that we have to deal with. And I really want to call attention to those things. So when the grant ended, I started consulting, trying to see if I could use those skills in helping other organizations look at themselves differently and make some systemic changes. And that's been really, really hard. But I decided to run for office because I'd like to see if some of these ideas work when you're in government. And if I can be an elected official in maybe a little bit of a different way than it's traditionally been.
I appreciate that approach because I think that's one thing that you and I share is sort of that background that things are more systemic than people want to realize, and that the city council and government sometimes gets caught in that problem solving, like that, here's the problem, it's not big problems, it's little things like a budget or an item or a fire truck or a and I think sometimes we don't have the bigger conversations. We just don't. We don't. We come in with an agenda. And even if you look at the agenda, which is really interesting, it is specific little, no, I don't mean little in little sense, but specific problems that we're trying to solve
Yeah,
or
it's necessary.
address. Maybe that's it. Maybe the better word is address.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I want to make government as accessible as possible and sort of pull back the curtain. I think there's a lot of things that happen in government that people don't understand and that we in government take for granted because we forget we had to learn it. And the longer you're in government, the less you remember that you learned it and that you just think it's common knowledge. And so I talk about the hidden rules like I did when I was at Working Cities. There are hidden rules about government. And so I've been trying to share that as I learn the hidden rules, and city council meetings are just a part of that, to open that up for people to see, okay, this is what that language means. This is why we do it that way, right or wrong. And to show people that you don't have to know everything when you're in government, you're going to learn too. So hopefully that will encourage more people to run for office.
I hope so too, because I think your campaign, my campaign, were very grassroots. We came out of work that we were already doing in the community.
Yeah,
that's where we came out of. And then people were sort of like, you should run for office. I'm sure you had that conversation all the time with people. And so you and I came from the people kind of pushing us to run for office because we have a certain perspective on things. I hope that continues because I think we need a lot of different ideas. I think we need a lot of people that are not just coming out of some sort of political machinery. Because every town, every community, has some political machinery. And I just sometimes wish that more people didn't come from that.
Yes, I think having diverse backgrounds when we're dealing with all there's so many issues that come in front of city council. And I'm grateful to have other people on city council who have more experience in certain areas. So even at last night's city or this week's city council meeting, there was an issue that came up. I was grateful that other people could speak to it in a way that I couldn't, but I understood what they were saying. And so, but there are things that I can speak about that they don't know about. And so having that depth of knowledge in different directions makes us a stronger body.
No, I think so. I think that's the most important thing. And I always loved the dialogue and I loved the sort of the debate and discussion. Even if I didn't agree with someone, I always found it interesting. And it's funny because I think you have a certain style as I did, but I would sit for a while and I would listen. I don't say, I didn't say too much. I kind of wanted to take it all in because the one thing didn't want to do is to come in already with a judgment about something. Or if I was feeling really strongly about something, that even put me more on notice that I should speak less and listen more. Like the stronger I was attached to my decision, the more I was like, okay, you need to start taking in other people's point of views.
I completely agree. And it goes back to the way I centered my work at Working Cities and that it should be centered on the people most impacted by the problem. And so a lot of times when we're tackling a tough issue that really is something we see, but doesn't directly impact us, that we're not living with that experience, we think about solving the problem with the resources and knowledge that we have. And we don't think about the resources and knowledge that the people experiencing the challenge have. And so it's like, oh, why don't they just X or do Y or whatever that is? And they don't have that as an option. And so you need to sit back and listen to the people with that lived experience who either have recently experienced that or are going through it themselves. Because guess what? They know what they need. They know how to solve the problem. And then it's up to government to listen and figure that out.
You know, I think the one thing that always troubled me being on the city council is how do we bring those voices to the chamber? You know, I think that was always something that I struggled with. So I had a host of, and I think you're doing it too, host of constituent meetings. I was famous for those. And phone calls. And I knocked on doors even when I wasn't running for office. I mean, I was out there all the time because
I'm doing that too.
Right? You have to bring the voice there because people are so busy. And unless they're really attached to an issue, they don't take that open mic. And the only way their voice is going to be heard is if we bring the voice into the chamber.
Yes. And the disappointing part about open mic is it's not a conversation.
I always thought that too.
There's a big difference, you know, and I understand why it's not a conversation because that's why the constituent meetings are so important. I just had my first constituent meeting and what we're doing is we're bringing in city department heads to come to those meetings because I want to help people build relationships with those departments. I think it's really important to know that this is not us versus them and we can have a conversation. And it wasn't a, we're presenting and you're listening and then you're asking questions. It was just a complete conversation. And it wasn't just one person sharing an idea. It was a person sharing an idea, someone else chiming in, the department heads, sharing some information and really having a conversation about how do we do these things better or what would be of benefit to the community. And that's the magic.
It is.
Those conversations, like I walk away from those completely jazzed and thinking, yes, we need to do more of this.
I think that's where our passion shows up for the work on the council. And I think those conversations allow people to be heard. It allows us to bring their messages back. But more importantly, I think it keeps people engaged.
Yes.
It keeps them in touch with what's really happening. I think engagement is part of the biggest challenge, not only in Pittsfield, but in most communities. I mean, people are living their lives and they can't stay engaged. They got a lot going on. And if they do want to be engaged, there's not a lot of mechanisms for them to do that. And I think as counselors have to present and create those opportunities for engagement.
And it's really hard for us too. If you're working a full-time job, if you have a family, I'm fortunate right now I'm not working full-time. So I'm really doubling down on learning. So it'll be easier when I do have a full-time job, but it's the same thing. I don't have that expectation that every counselor is going to be able to do what I'm doing.
Exactly.
And so I'm committed to sharing what I learn in these meetings with other counselors. I think that's really important.
No, that's true, because I did the same thing. Anytime I had a meeting, I invited other counselors to come. A lot of times I invited other counselors to come, particularly if it was an issue that we sort of shared in common, or because you're right. The one thing I think people forget about this is not a full-time job.
Right.
Although it can be, trust me, you could make being a counselor
I can make
a full-time
this
job.
Full-time so easily.
You could, right?
Yeah.
And the more passion you bring to it, the bigger the job could be.
Yes.
I think that's totally true. So there's a fine line, I think, between reasonable expectations that the public have of us that I feel we have an obligation to meet, and sort of where's the line?
Yes.
Where's that line? And it's a tough balance. And you're catching on really quick.
Thank you. Yeah, I think I'm taking the time to, I have questions all the time. Every agenda that comes out, what's great is the city staff has been just great in answering all my questions, going through budgets with me, helping me understand language. They've been really accessible. So I've been learning a lot so far.
Yeah, and the process of how things happen is amazing too, because you don't learn that on the campaign trail. And I think you approach the campaign correctly. It was like, how are you going to approach the job? Not what you're going to do or not do. And I think that sometimes is the difference. But just honestly telling people, I really don't, there's some ideas I have and some things I'd like to address, but I really don't know what I can or cannot fix or address until I get to the seat. But this is how I will handle myself and this is how I will approach things.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only promises we can really make people.
Yeah. And I was really glad it resonated because, and I knew that when I talked to people face to face, and they heard that perspective and I talked to them about their issues, like there was a connection and I felt good about the conversation. So I was feeling the more I talked to people, the more I felt confident in what I was bringing to the table.
So what is the one thing you expected on your first meetings that happened? You were like, okay, this is what I expected. And what was the one thing that happened that you said, I didn't expect that at all?
I'm going to start with the thing I didn't expect.
Are easy. There's a lot of those, I bet.
A lot. I think I already shared that I didn't know I'd be running the meeting so soon. I think there's this sense, we talk about city council as if there's a debate, right? We have open meeting laws. We're supposed to be debating, but sometimes it doesn't. So it hasn't felt like a debate.
Mm-hmm.
Someone says something, and because we're and it's awkward because you make comments through the chair and not toward each other, and I found myself in a couple of times thinking, gosh, that was my opportunity to try to change someone's mind. And I'm not there yet in my skill and understanding how to debate that. So I'm glad we haven't had huge issues in front of us yet, because I think that when some like when another counselor surprises you with their votes, like you didn't get the chance to talk about it before the meeting and know that they were going to vote that way. So when someone declares their vote in the meeting, like I'm not going to support this or I'm going to support this, that's supposed to be your opportunity. And so that's something I'm going to have to practice and figure that out, because that's where I think that's where also people watching at home or in the meeting like want to see that conversation. A lot of times there's not a lot said in the meeting.
That's true. If you're just joining me, everyone, you're listening to WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield's Community Radio. You're also maybe watching us on channel 1301 on Pittsfield PCTV. So wave just in case. That lady that just waved to you is Alyssa Costa. She is an at-large city councilor, just elected to her first term. And we've been talking about her first couple of months in office, which I always find really fascinating, which is why I wanted to do this conversation. But you brought up a couple of points that were really interesting just before I made the announcement of who you are once again. Is a couple of things. A lot of the city council is procedural. And I think that surprises people. I can remember the one thing that the calls I always used to get was, oh, you voted on that fire truck, but nobody really said anything, you know. But I know that I read 72 pages of the proposal and the letter from the mayor and all the feedback, and did my homework with, you know, with the department head. So when the vote came, it was pretty straightforward, but to people looking at it, it was sort of like a rubber stamp, but it wasn't. There was all this other stuff that happens before you make that vote. And the other piece that you mentioned was really interesting is when is there debate and how debate happens. That really is fascinating, a part of being a city councilor. And you know, how many times you can speak, that's another issue too.
Right,
And
can
when
only
at
speak
some point,
twice.
yeah, right. And when at some, and so you got to time it.
So I mean, apparently you can speak for as long as you want, but once you yield the floor, you only have those two rounds to go. So yes, it's really interesting. So those kind of, those detailed rules, and I always knew that they were there. And so that didn't is something that didn't surprise me, but how detailed they are just to figure out what emotion is supposed to be on a specific issue and what if and what subcommittee or person it's referred to is really complex and not always straightforward. So it makes it I unfortunately think it makes it really hard for the average person to understand how our government is working and how city council is really being a check on our administration, even though we're not necessarily having that debate. So all of those, when I get that, I've already had an almost 200
Oh,
page
yeah.
packet.
Oh, yeah.
And so having to read through all of that, and I think I wind up reading through it like three times to make sure I understand it, I didn't miss something, because sometimes on the third, it's a skim, a read, and then another skim. And on
Yeah.
that third skim, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see this. And then Monday, I'm like cramming in some time to make some calls, because you're trying to understand that issue better so you can make an informed decision on your vote, but also if you want to ask those questions publicly so that the audience at home knows what's going on, that's your opportunity to do that as well.
It's true. And I think, you know, you'll definitely start, and if you haven't already, start getting the constituent emails and the phone calls, especially the folks who watch the city council meeting, which is wonderful. People are engaged. But I always used to get the calls like, you know, why did it happen this way? You know, why wasn't there this conversation? So I think it's important for people to know that the packets can be pretty huge. I mean, 200 pages is a novel.
I mean,
You know, it's a novel that we're
what have
reading
I
in
gotten
two or three
myself
days,
into?
right?
Yeah, I was thinking it was 2 meetings ago. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? Because, I did a little complaint to Pete White, our council president, and I was like, oh my God, that packet was so big. He's like, that's nothing. Wait till they get to 400 pages. I'm like,
Oh
ah,
yes, and the budget packages, those are the worst.
yes.
Those are those my first budget, was just, I mean, I had, see, the lucky thing for me is I had worked at City Hall. So I had
Okay.
been a department head. I had run, I had been head of, well, they called it personnel at the time. So I had been a, I had seen the packets. I knew what the budgets looked like. So I had some experience with them.
Okay.
But even as a counselor, when I first saw it, I was like, it was like, I said, oh my God, I forgot. I kind of forgot how extensive it is. I mean, every line item, it's really pretty amazing.
Yes, and I think it's going to be more detailed this year,
Yeah.
having a banker as our mayor.
Oh, yes. I think so too.
And yeah, I'm really dreading it because those are the really, really tough decisions that city council make. Like, these are the decisions that people elect us to make, and they're the worst.
They are, and they're really difficult. And everybody comes from a different perspective. I think it was during the budget hearings, particularly the first one, because after a while you start to get to know people. But during the first one, because you're only in for a couple months before you have your first budget that you have to decide, I think that's when I first really learned about my colleagues. Interesting. And they learned about me because we brought into those conversations the filters in which we do life and our own experience about money and, and how it works and how budgets are set up. So, some folks came, from how they, handled their family budget. For me, I came in as a small business owner, but a totally different perspective of budgets and money and, making things happen. So it
That's a
was really, yeah, it was really fascinating.
really helpful point for me. Thank you for
Oh, good.
sharing that.
That's why I'm here. Yeah.
Yes, and I think my background with Bridges Out of Poverty is really going to help with that.
I think it will, because everybody comes from a different point of view. But a lot of times when I became a little frustrated, with how people were approaching the budget, I had to step back and say, what has been their experience with money and budgets? And, when I really looked at it, sometimes I was like, you know what? This is a completely different approach based on their experience. So it really helps because it's such a big issue. And I think if we don't acknowledge each other's filters, then sometimes the debate can get more uncomfortable than it needs to.
Agreed. Yeah, that makes
Yeah.
sense.
So that's kind of a perspective I've always sort of shared with people. But it's an interesting process. And of course you have the public as well that, just become very attached to one or two particular line items. And they don't see the whole like bigger piece.
There's a lot of big pieces, yes.
Yeah, it's all part of, it's like a puzzle, right? I tell people all the time, it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle. The budget's like a 1,000-piece puzzle.
Yes, that's a good place. That's a good way to put it. And
Yeah.
how is it going, and how does it fit together to make it the whole and not something sticking off the side?
Yeah. So I can't wait to talk to you as you go through that process.
Oh boy.
You can call me anytime. See, now
Thank
that
you.
I'm not totally attached to it, you can talk to me anytime you like.
Well, yeah, and I think you have the dis the pers you get a better perspective in the distance a little bit, when you're not as emotionally attached to everything that happened.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So what do you think is the number one learning curve you're going to have going forward? What do you think what the big one is?
I think it's going to be the budget. It's something that
It's for
I've been,
everybody,
yeah.
for most people.
I've managed program budgets working at nonprofits, and I manage my business's budget. It's not the same,
It's not.
this huge organization. And it's not just the city departments, it's the school budget, and and understanding things, complex things like benefits and overtime and how that and contracts and how that factors in and all those things. And I love spreadsheets, and you don't get it as a
You
spreadsheet.
don't.
You get it as like a piece of paper, and it drives me crazy. Like, how am I supposed to follow this?
It's true. And I'm glad we're having this conversation. And one thing I want to acknowledge right now is your transparency. Because I always was one for that. I was like,
Yeah,
I know what
I
I
think
know.
it's really important.
I don't know what I don't know, and I'll figure it out. But I've always been transparent with people about that. And I think
Yeah.
you're going to serve them well when you can have an honest conversation like we're having right now, saying, listen, this is what I really am bringing to the table, and this is my strength, and this is where, I'm going to be seeking help from all of you to kind of figure it out. I think, people need to realize we serve, but we don't know all the answers, and we're here to serve and to learn and to grow.
And I think people have expressed to me there's this sort of fear that if you don't know everything, you're somehow going to be manipulated or taken advantage of by other people, who are trying to get you to vote or do their thing. And when you're transparent, and I'm constantly asking tons of people questions, you're more likely to catch that and just be like,
Exactly.
well, yeah, have you? Well, I don't know if that. And so I've had some of those conversations already. And
Good.
I think that that is why we can't do it alone as city councilors. We have to work with the departments, we have to work with the community. The more eyes on something, the more you're going to catch things, the more you're going to understand an issue better. And so instead of just being from my perspective, because I have this limited view of the world. There's nothing I can do about that. I'm one person.
Exactly.
So it's really important for counselors to do that.
I think so too. I think the more that people sort of embrace that, I think more the constituents are going to be served, I think,
Yeah.
going forward. But it is definitely interesting to be in those seats.
So different. It's really different. It's a just, but it's exciting and it's still early. I'm not jaded yet, so
Well, that, yeah, that's true. When I left, I still wasn't jaded, so that's a good sign.
good. That's comforting.
And I wasn't, because I never changed who I was.
Right.
It never became, the best advice I can give you is it never became about me.
Right.
Once it becomes about you and your agenda, and what you want to prove, and who you want to impress, and what agenda you want to bring forward, that changes the game. I'm sorry, it changes the game.
Yeah, and I always appreciated that about you. You brought your authentic self to that space and to the work. And that's I do that too. I really don't.
Yeah.
I'm a terrible liar, so I don't know if that makes me a terrible politician or what.
It makes you
Yeah.
not a politician, right?
At least I know that about myself. And I think we that's the idealist in me that says we should be able to be government like that. We should be able to be our authentic selves in government. And it's really hard for some people to do that, but that's the only way I know how to operate.
Me too. Everyone, we're at the top of the hour, so we're going to take a quick break so you can learn a little bit about our underwriters who make all of this possible right here at WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield Community Radio. And I'm Donna Todd Rivers from Morning Drive. I'm sitting with our at-large city councilor, Alyssa Costa, and we'll be right back in about 1 minute.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
right. Hello, everyone, and I'm back. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I'm your host this morning on Morning Drive right here at WTBR 89.7 Pittsfield Community Radio. We are also simulcasting on Channel 1301 Pittsfield Community Television right on Spectrum Cable. And if you've missed the first half of the show, I think you're going to want to catch it. So here's a way you can do that. Go to pittsfieldtv.org, look for Morning Drive, and you can catch this show and any other show. So do it. You can binge watch Morning Drive. Trust me, it'd be worth it. With me right now, that lady with me right now is Melissa Costa. She is our at-large city councilor. And we've been talking about what the first couple months are like being a first time city councilor. And I hope you're getting a real sense of who she is and how she's going to be approaching the work. Before we went to break, you mentioned something really interesting about the role of government in people's lives. And you're a little bit of an idealist. I am too. That has not changed or gone away. I think I pray that I always stay this way, quite frankly. But what do you honestly think is the role of government and your role in people's lives in the city? What does that look like?
I think our role of government is to create the conditions for everyone to thrive. And what I mean by that is sometimes we think that government is a hindrance because we've set up a rule or something that makes our life a little bit harder, but that rule may make someone's life a lot easier and or protects them. And so we don't always see that. And I'm not saying that government is perfect in that. In no way is government perfect in that. But that's what I strive for. So understanding what's going to help the most people be able to thrive and then get out of the way. So in a city environment, for me, that really is infrastructure, both physical and civic, and our engagement with each other. So if we are interacting in healthy ways with each other throughout the city, and we can conduct business in a way that people can access that business and the business can thrive, we're doing right by the people who live in the city.
And I agree with that, I do. I think what happens is translating that to the call that you get on Sunday night from someone who, and that's really, you know, I used to post all the time, especially when something was going on in the city. I was like, okay, I'm in my chair. I have my hot chocolate. I'm here. Like, call me. You know, I would literally post it on Facebook, like, call me. I'm here. Like, I'm here for the next 3 hours. Light up my phone. And people do. And the interesting thing, and probably that one of the harder things, is to be able to present both sides of an issue. So when someone calls because they want you to support A and you supported B, trying to explain to them why you supported B.
Yeah.
And then it's really, those conversations are difficult because you're in, you know, you talk about debate being on the council floor. Well, also sometimes debate occurs, not so much debate, but they're kind of, sort of highly emotional conversations can happen with constituents who feel very strongly about one position, and to be able to have that conversation, hear them, and yet try to bring them to the middle, just like you do your colleagues for a vote. It's pretty fascinating.
Yes. Yes. And I feel like one place I'm really trying to do that right now is it's on snow plowing.
Oh my God.
Snow plowing in roads. I mean, it's like the hot topic this time of year. And what I really appreciate, I think, Ricardo Morales is our Commissioner of Public Works, and I cannot believe the amount of communication that we're getting from, and I don't know if this happened before this administration came in, but, you know, a snowstorm is coming. We're getting detailed information from, you know, what he's reading on the national, what is it for the NOAA, and, you know, and what the plan is. And then in the middle of this, in the middle of the event, the weather changes suddenly and we've got a, you know, it's like a guessing game. And to try and with limited resources, when we don't have enough plow drivers and we have, they have to have breaks. They can't just be plowing for 48 hours straight kind of thing. And so being able to explain, have conversations with folks so that they understand, like, there's a lot going on in the background. It's not just like the first snowflake falls and the plows are out. It's really complex and hard to plan and not perfect at all, because you can't, because weather is unpredictable as much as we try to predict it and all of that stuff. And I love having those conversations, because at the end of the conversation, they're like, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that's true. I think that's,
I didn't know it either.
Right?
I didn't
know it. You didn't know until you became a counselor. You're like, oh, this is how it works.
Yeah.
But that's true. I think part of our job is to make sure that we bring the how government works to the people, to our constituents, because they don't know. And I can remember, that was the big one. Anytime it snowed, I knew. And I knew. I said, oh, here, as soon as one snowflake fell, I was like, okay, get myself comfy, get my snacks out, get the phone out, get the pad out, because I knew that was it. I was going to be on the phone until the snow stopped.
I'm so grateful I'm not a ward counselor.
I'll tell you. Well, that's funny you should say that. So that's an interesting comment, because ward counselors get those calls. I was close to a couple of the at-large, and I would call for support occasionally, but the ward counselors are in the weeds.
Yes, I just spoke with two of our newest counselors, and they both were saying how many calls they've gotten so far about roads and potholes and snow and stuff like that. And I'm getting other stuff, but it's very different.
And that's the other thing I think people need to understand about the council, is that there is a difference between what the at-large counselors hear about and what the ward counselors hear about. It really is kind of fascinating. The ward counselors are sort of in the weeds with everybody. I learned more about potholes than I ever thought I would ever learn. I was shocked with what the stuff that I learned.
Not just potholes and how they're created, but the different ways that they get fixed, years, the different types of road repair, whether it's crack seal, fog seal, resurfacing, all this.
It's crazy.
I literally just had that conversation with the city engineer today, going over the plans for all the roads in the coming season. And it's a huge project to manage a city this size with so many miles of road.
No,
it's
it
getting
really is.
More and more expensive, which makes it more and more challenging.
And, people don't realize there is a plan in place. There's a 5-year plan in place. There is a plan in place. And there's a reason why certain roads get done and certain ones don't. And they are numbered and they are, evaluated. And we do so many that are really good. And we do so many that are really bad. And so many are in the middle. And there is a plan in place.
Yes.
But people don't.
And so one of the things that I'm trying to focus on is equity in that. And it's something that the department is working on, but historically, my understanding of how the city did road resurfacing was not about which road was the worst, but where the most complaints came from. And so over time, that has meant disinvestment in the infrastructure in certain neighborhoods. And I will say Morningside, Westside. And when you're walking those streets, you see it. When I was knocking on doors in those wards, I saw it with my own two feet and eyes. And so making sure that there's some priority and almost a little bit of the equity, making sure that we're all getting to a level playing field instead of trying to distribute evenly among the wards to make everybody feel better, to show that it's about the rating of the road, how poor it is, whether it gets resurfaced and not. We equally distribute the same amount of road work to each ward equitably. It goes to where it needs the most work.
I appreciate that point of view, and I think that would be a wonderful change to see.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be watching for that, because I agree with you philosophically. That's probably the best way to approach it.
Yeah.
Because
and
I think, go ahead.
No, I mean, it's a hard conversation to have with people, because you're talking about power structures. You're talking about who, the higher taxpayers are, and all of that stuff. So it makes it complicated.
That's going to be, that is a hard sell. I think it's where we should try to go. But that, I'm looking forward to seeing how that kind of, that conversation plays out, because what I've always used to say to my colleagues, they knew, because when someone came, I always say, make sure you're not listening to the loudest minority group.
Yeah.
The loudest, you know, just be careful. You know, they're like, well, I've heard this from, you know, so many people. And I said, you know, you're really only hearing it really from the loudest of a very small subgroup. Do you know what I mean?
The people who have the privilege of time and resources to make their voice heard.
Yeah. And know how to. Yes. Definitely know how to.
Absolutely. And I think that's the value of knocking on doors, because, and I've talked to some people, like even a community meeting is designed for a certain type of person to attend. Someone who's willing to leave their house in the evening, somebody who is really passionate about something, somebody who is feels comfortable going into a room with maybe a bunch of people they don't know. Like all of those things, it creates an environment that attracts a certain person. And that's all you're going to get at a community meeting. You're very rarely going to get more than that. And so knocking on doors, make sure you get to talk, or phone calls, make sure you get to talk to people who are very different from that demographic.
Exactly. Or attending, you know, a community event that you know about, and maybe a group that you don't easily reach, or they're not easily, you know, making sure you put it on the radar.
Yes. So many community events, Donna.
I know. I'm telling you, it's a full-time job. People don't realize it. It's a full-time job.
The thing is, I want to do everything.
You can't.
I want to be everywhere.
I did too. Things. I did too. And it was
burn
so
myself
hard.
Out though.
It is hard. And you start to prioritize a little bit. I used to warn my colleagues, you know, when you prioritize, make sure you're prioritizing based on what the need of the community is and not where you think you need to be seen.
Yes.
I know. They probably don't miss me. I'd be like, yo.
So it was really hard. You know, recently we just had the 10 by 10 festival.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And there were so many things going on. I couldn't go to everything.
Yeah. No.
And it was hard. I was like, but I want to do that. And I want to do that. And I want to go to all the business grand openings, and I want to do all the things. And I haven't been able to say, it's been hard to say no, but I probably need to say no to more things, because I will.
You will eventually. It becomes a balance, but it really is hard. And that's one thing I tell people, being a city councilor, it's a balancing act between your personal life, your professional life, because most of us are employed, you know, very few are actually retired, and just trying to balance all of that. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's more than people think, I think.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
More than people think, but you're doing a fine job. So what subcommittees have they stuck you on?
I got all the subcommittees I wanted. So Community Economic Development.
Oh, that's perfect for you.
Yes. Building Maintenance and Public Health and Safety.
I was Building Maintenance, and I got it. So I'll tell you the story. You can tell Mayor Marchetti. Mayor Marchetti. So my first year, he put me on Public Works. And I was like, no, because I wanted to be, the first year I wanted to be on Ordinance and Rules, because I'm an attorney. So I thought Ordinance and Rules, right? Yeah. And he said, oh, you'll make it to Ordinance and Rules. He said, but I'm going to put you on Public Works first, because you're a ward counselor. And he said, trust me, this is a great committee for you. Mm-hmm. And of course, the lawyer in me was like, no, I want to do Ordinance and Rules. Well, I'll tell you, I ended up loving Public Works.
Yeah, I can imagine that. I'd be interested in it too.
I loved it.
Everyone was like, don't you want to be on these powerful committees, Ordinance and Rules and Finance? And I was like, eventually, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Like, those are big decisions. Like, that's a lot to learn while I'm still learning the job of being on city council. And I get it. There are people who are prepared for that. I just wanted to give myself the space.
Yeah.
So do things that don't meet as often, are more in my wheelhouse to start, and then branch out when I'm ready.
You made the right choice. And the committees you have are great. I liked Building Maintenance. It was fun. By the time I left, I was on Public Works and Ordinance and Rules. That was a heavy lift.
That was
a heavy lift. Because a lot of things happen in both those subcommittees.
Yes, they
did. A lot happened.
I've seen all the referrals go to them.
everything came to us. I was like, oh my God. But I'll tell you, but don't tell him, because I complained a lot for a couple of weeks there. I was like, I don't want to do that. I did. I'm being honest, folks. You know me, I'm always transparent. But I really came to enjoy it. And what I learned was pretty amazing. And I really started to really appreciate how the city worked. But so have you had any of your first subcommittee meetings yet?
None yet.
Okay.
We will have community and economic development. We just got our first referral. So that will happen in March.
All right.
That's fine. That's given me time to break in.
Exactly. Do you remember what the first referral was for?
No.
Yeah.
It'll come 2 meetings ago. That's like a past memory.
Oh yeah. Well, that's true too. So I want to talk a little bit. First of all, let me tell everyone who I'm talking to, right? So we better tell them that. So everyone, if you're just tuning in, my name is Donna Todd Rivers. I am your host for the Morning Drive this morning. Thank you so much for being with me. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM on your Pittsfield Community Radio. You may also be watching us on PCTV channel 1301 on Spectrum Cable. I am talking to Alyssa Costa. She is an at-large city councilor. I am just having a hoot of a time here chatting about her first couple months here on city council and living through some of my own memories. It's just been a lot of fun. It is really, I can see the passion in her eyes doing it. So that's pretty awesome. So we've been talking about what it's like for the first couple months, talking about how she's going to be approaching things, a little bit about her experience and what she brings to the table, which I think is incredibly important. But one thing I've noticed about you, which I really want to commend you on, is you came out of the gate with outreach efforts to keep your constituents informed of what's happening. And that takes a lot to organize. So you didn't mention that you're doing some constituent meetings, but you're not settling for that. You are reaching out in other ways as well. Do you want to share with folks what you're doing?
Sure. I decided to keep with a pattern that I did during the campaign. I did this transparency and authenticity about what am I doing? What am I learning? Learn this with me, because government is just a tough nut to crack sometimes. And I think it's really important for people to, understand how government works, because there are all these hidden rules. So I'm doing a series of videos that explain different aspects of government and the things that I'm learning, the things that surprise me. And I'm also doing these like almost 10-minute videos now that go through the entire city council agenda. Wow. So just to say, okay, you know, this is what happens. This is what to expect. Mm-hmm. And this is why we don't discuss items at the bottom of the agenda that are tentatively referred under Rule 27.
Oh, there you go.
And things like that, so that people can follow along. And I do those postings on TikTok at Costa at Large, on Instagram at Costa at Large, and on Facebook as Alyssa Costa, Counselor at Large. So you can find those videos there. They happen roughly once every week or so, and a little more in between. So, and I'm really enjoying those, and some of the feedback I get out in the community, people really appreciate that. And I'm also doing a monthly newsletter along with the constituent meetings. So I just had my first constituent meeting. My monthly newsletter goes out at the end of the month after that to say, sort of a wrap up. These are things that came up in that. These are some things we learned. Here's some links to the department and anything else that might be that is important that people know about or has been or will be discussed by city council, and just trying to keep people in the loop. The newsletter isn't super timely, but it's going to have the meat of things that I hope will help people understand what's going on.
No, I did the same thing, actually. I did a newsletter. And then I, of course, announced in the newsletter when the next constituent meeting was. But I think it's incredibly important. And it's just another piece. I mean, that was I didn't make any promises on the campaign trail, but that was one that I kept. Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredibly important, because people, have different ways in which they want to communicate with us. So yes. Newsletter was, you know, for some folks. I did a show on PCTV from the council seat. So I did that as well. I interviewed department heads and talked about the agenda. I did the constituent things. But I want to mention that you mentioned Instagram and TikTok. And I want to commend you for that, because I think sometimes we don't make, and I, you know, I was the first one, although I had a lot of young people campaign for me, which is really interesting. One particular gentleman is actually sitting on our school committee right now, which is, but he started campaigning for me. But I think we don't reach out to those other, you know, like Instagram, TikTok, people be like, why is she doing that? But there's a whole demographic of our constituencies that are using that as a way they communicate.
And it has been, you know, it's, I'm not expecting huge numbers, you know, government can be boring for people, but I do, I'm growing. I have over 100 followers on Instagram and, you know, and a little more than that on Facebook. I'm trying to get out there. If you're interested in receiving my e-newsletter, you can send me an email at acosta@cityofpittsfield.org. So that I will get you onto that. Just give me your name, email address, and your address, because I will send out special correspondence if something is happening specifically in your neighborhood. So make sure that you include that. And yeah, I think it's, government is a conversation. We can't do it without people. So if they're commenting on social media, if they're emailing, calling me, or coming up to me at events, whatever it is, it's got to be that conversation, or we're not going to do right by our city.
I really like that. Government is conversation. I think that's going to be the tagline that I'm going to use for this show. It's true. Yeah, government is conversation. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. We have a couple minutes left. And the one piece I want to touch, since you are an at-large counselor, is a piece of your job that I hope people will understand, is the fine relationship between the ward counselors and the at-large counselors. So I don't know if you've dipped your toe into that yet or gotten a sense of that, because every council had changed. I got to be honest with you. I was on this couple, and each council, it changed a little bit depending on the dynamics of the people who were on the council. But there's a relationship there.
There is. And I'm trying to figure that out. There's also the culture and the norms that city council has, sort of the etiquette of, if somebody emails everybody on city council, the ward counselor should be responding first, kind of thing. And like this sort of delicate dance, so that we're not stepping on each other's toes, and things like that. Being support. It's interesting. So my ward counselor actually lives three doors down from me. So Matt Rinn. And so we are, I don't see him all the time or anything in the cold, but in the summer we'll see each other a lot because he's always out in the yard with his kids. And I think, but there is that sort of like, okay, how do we do that? And if I'm planning something in someone's ward, I will talk to, I'll talk to that ward counselor and see if they want to participate. But it's a delicate dance.
No, it truly is a delicate dance. So Pete White lived two doors down from me.
There you go.
Right around the corner. Yeah. And when there were, no leaves on the trees, we could literally see each other's houses. but it is an interesting dance. And I bring it up because I think sometimes the constituents don't really understand that. But there is some protocol and some professional respect that we have for each other and how we address things. So, we sort of get we're sort of in the weeds. So the snowplow issues and the neighborhood debates with trees, all that stuff kind of came to the ward counselors. And then we sort of have our at-large counselors for support to kind of work things through. But it changes every time, though. I have to be honest with you, every council, it changes.
Yeah, it depends on the responsiveness or the skill level of the different counselors and what their knowledge base is.
Right.
There's also, if somebody reaches out to me, but it's really very specific to the ward, you want to make sure that you're bringing in the ward counselor versus something that impacts everybody citywide. So it is, I'm still figuring that stuff out. I've already made at least one mistake. I'll probably make more
Oh,
until I
absolutely.
figure that out. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
And you know what? And that is the way it goes. And it's really okay.
Yeah.
I think ultimately, I do believe ultimately most councils end up being where folks really do work together. You know, there's been historically in the city of Pittsfield and other places, so I'm not disparaging Pittsfield, but you know, there are sometimes when there's certain groups that kind of, you know, it kind of splits and there's jokes about it being a 9-2 council and an 8-3 council and a 7-4 council and whatever,
Yeah.
you know, the combination, the 5-6, I think there was a 5-6 at one point. But I think ultimately that's what it looks like through appearance to people. They're sort of, it's like a baseball game and people keep it score. But I think the council is bigger than that. And I think ultimately we do have a way that people relate to each other.
We are all employees of the same organization.
Amen.
We should be sharing common goals the same with the administration. We are all employees of the same organization. We're working toward the same goals, and that's how we should work together.
I always, you said it much better than I did. All I ever used to say to them, I used to look at them and say, it's not about you. That's all I never
Yeah.
said. That was my famous quote. They knew it. I was like, it's not about you. But you're right. That is the bigger issue, is that we all just serve the constituencies the best you can, I guess,
That's
with what we bring
all
to
you
the
can do.
table. It's all you
Yeah.
can. So going into the next, I don't know, your next constituent meeting, do you have any ideas of what it might be about or who you might be bringing? Do you want to talk about it a little?
So the way we do this is because I don't want to make a decision on who people want to speak with. If an organization is hosting, I ask them who they want to speak with.
Good idea.
So when I did Living in Recovery, they actually asked to have someone from Parks and Rec come. And so we brought in Community Development and Parks and Rec and had that conversation along with lots of other things. And then, so our next meeting will be, it's the last Monday of the month. So our next meeting will be March 25th at Goodwill Industries on Tyler Street. Well, I think it's 176 Tyler Street. And I have not gotten who they're working with their volunteers and staff and folks like that to ask them who they would want to hear from. And I think that's important because it shouldn't be coming from me. It has to come from the community. So I would say if you work for an organization or own a business that would like to host one of my monthly meetings, please reach out to me at acosta at cityofpittsfield.org.
I love how you say that. I hope people join your ward. I hope they join your constituent meetings, you know, because I think it's important to have them. So I want to thank you for doing that. I wish you great success as you go forward in your service to the city of Pittsfield.
Thank
I want to
you.
thank you for running. And I'm looking forward to watching you as you grow and just become an incredibly successful and impactful city councilor.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens
And
next.
I look forward to having you back on. Everyone, that's the show for today. It has been a really great show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I've been here with you at Morning Drive, and I'll be joining you again soon. If you want to get a hold of our counselor, she told you how to do that. And looking forward to chatting with you again soon. Between now and then, please stay well and stay safe.